Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls. We are your IndyCar experience.
Sorry. I was just making sure it's recording now.
All right.
Season 3, episode 34, the first non-race report, non-season 2019. Like, oh man, it's the off-season. It's time to go.
It is. Time to strap in, because it's going to be a busy, silly season.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, we're recording after news breaks.
Yay! I saw that, and I was so excited we didn't record yesterday.
Yay! And the crowd goes wild!
Woo! So, we've got some fresh news.
Fresh news. And then we're talking all about cockpit protection, because that's all of the rage right now.
It is. Everybody's discussing it.
Everybody. Your mom, my mom, everybody.
Lots of people on the internet.
Yeah, the internet people are out in full force again.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
Oh. And then we're going to wrap things up with our woman of the week, Elaine Larson.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good episode. So let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
As far as news, kind of older news, but I thought I'd put it on there. Joseph Newgarden, in his continuing world champion tour, went a-rovaling at the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was cool.
That is cool. There's been lots of speculation as to whether that's somewhere that they're going to try and add back onto our schedule, or whether that might be a possible location for the infamous doubleheader.
Now we've been talking about now forever.
Forever.
I mean, that's fine.
So, yeah, it is. And then there's people that say we don't need another one. We already have a Roval, saying the IMS road course is a Roval.
Yeah.
Which technically it is.
It kind of, but I feel like a Roval has to kind of have almost like two turns, and ours really utilizes like one.
One, yeah. It really only utilizes one.
It's
so,
like Roval-ish.
Yeah, which the Charlotte Roval utilizes.
Like the back half.
Yeah, a lot of it.
There's definitely like a distinctive oval and a Roval.
Yes.
Also, so I just really like the word Roval.
I enjoy the word Roval. I enjoy it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good place to take IndyCar. I still think that we need somewhere else in the Northeast, but, you know, to throw another Southeast race in, I think that's a good idea.
Except for my general hate for the Charlotte airport, I'm all on board.
Well, fair. Although, let's be real. We would drive to that in camp.
Yeah, we would. So, I'm okay, but I hate the Charlotte airport. I just want to little line here. Other than that, I'm good.
I won't make you go to the Charlotte airport, I promise.
It's like the last days of Vietnam. I swear to God.
just waiting on your plane.
If you ever have to connect in the C terminal at Charlotte Airport, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. I've had to do that before. And you're like, oh, no.
It's the last flight out of Nam.
It is. Well, they're doing reconstruction. So, like, the ceiling tiles are all gone. So, it's, like, exposed wiring. There's not enough seats. Everybody is hot and stinky. And you're like, oh, no.
Are there birds inside?
There might have been. It felt like. There's always birds inside of an airport.
I know, because there's always just that moment of, I could get shit on at any time.
Mm-hmm. Like, you just hear it, and you're like, there's a bird here.
There's a bird. Am I under the nest? Is that why nobody's sitting in these seats?
Like the nest of rats we have.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay, story time. So, all right. Well, I'll just tell it now. Okay, so we're gonna talk about the cockpit protection later. But when we went out last week to see the aero screen testing at the IMS, after the press conference, we were out in Tower Terrace. And just taking some pictures and getting some shots. And we walked down pretty far because we wanted to, you know, change up the angle that we were getting the cars at, et cetera. Yeah. And then we see some scat. And
yes.
At first I'm thinking bird, but then we realize, no, it's just pellets.
Yeah.
And bird is all mixed together. And so anyhow, so Molly's like, I think that's mice. And I'm like, oh, that's too big to be mice. That's got to be rats. And so there's like a pile that is like a secondary pile, and there was a giant pile underneath what has to be up above is their nest.
Yep.
And so we're like, well, that's creepy as fuck. But we're still standing there. You know, we moved down like two rows because it's a good spot for photos.
I mean, at the end of the day, we can get them photos.
Yeah, we're trying to get those photos for you guys.
Yeah.
And so as we're standing there snapping photos, apparently the baby rats in the nest woke up and they start signaling to the adult rats. And we just hear just tons of squeaking and rat communication that I'm sure was along the lines of, there's two big creepy people here. Please get them the fuck away.
I don't speak rat, but I know that it was basically, we about to get attacked, attack them first. And we were not here for it.
No, nope. So we straight up dipped. But yeah, that was creepy. I've never heard that many rats at one time since. Well, you know what? Honestly, not since like the subways in New York.
Yep.
Or like that giant. Oh my gosh! Remember that giant rat we saw in DC that was like the size of a fucking cat?
Yes, it ran under the building we were having dinner in.
Yes, it ran that window seat. Ugh.
Yes.
Why do I always have creepy rat experiences with you?
I don't know. I don't like rats. I've had to clean up. I mean, actually, to be fair, domesticated rats, I don't have a problem with. Wild rats? No, I don't think so. No, thank you.
No, I have no use for wild rats.
No. I mean, live your life, but away from me.
No. Like, I'm talking, tuck my pants into my socks. I don't want to fuck with it.
No, I'm one of those people. It's fine. I've accepted it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we saw rats.
Yeah, so that was creepy. So, yeah, so. We stumbled upon the Rat King.
Yeah, who knew?
And then we hummed Dance with the Sugar Plum Fairies and laughed our asses off.
As we kept going, though, because we laughed. Yeah. We dipped.
Oh, we dipped. We dipped hard.
Yeah, we were like, nope, not today.
And then, yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. The nice version of the Rat King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So anyhow, back to, Roble. So I enjoy Roble. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not in 2020, so who knows? Silly season 2021, I guess. We'll see.
We shall see. Then, also coming up, October 10th through the 13th is the Bathurst 1000.
Yes.
And Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe have teamed up for the Andretti Supercar team.
It's like Watkins something else united, but it's basically the Andretti Autosport Supercar team. Fight me. I don't really care about this though. So let me, it's Andretti. Call it what you want. We all know what it is.
They do have a separate Twitter, but yes.
Yeah. Also, they are both dressed alike and it's really weird right now.
It is weird. It's very funny. And all their press stuff has been hilarious.
Yeah, man. Australia knows how to handle the press.
Oh, they really do.
Or
that
do
new
press.
Show that just kept bringing out the naked pictures of Hinch.
Like, the first time, I was like, this is great. And then they leaned in to that joke. And I have never loved something more.
Oh my gosh. And I mean, there's so many jokes that you almost miss because you're laughing so hard.
I know.
James Hinchcliffe. Well, I've got some. Turn your airdrop on.
Oh my God. That one, honest to Pete, when he pulled that out, I was like, damn it, James. This is why everybody loves you.
This is why. Yeah. And then the mail anchor, he's like, wow, that's pretty tech savvy. I usually have to fax her my nudes.
That was great.
Yeah. Australian news, much more fun than American news.
Absolutely. So, James and Rossi, Hinch and Rossi, they also are on off track, but right now they'll be driving the Mount Panorama Circuit in Australia. And this was the best thing when I Googled this track to look at it, was the names of like the corners and the straightaway. You've got Hell's Corner. Okay.
All right.
The Cutting, also scary.
Yep.
Frog Hollow, not as scary. I feel like that's somewhere my cousins have spent time with.
Sounds like a fairy tale.
Yeah. Skyline.
Skyline,
I'm assuming there's a good view from there. The Dipper.
All right.
Forest's Elbow.
Okay.
Somebody somewhere is going to be like, Forrest was a very important person. And I don't care. And then the straight. So I feel like they may have us beat on, like, track names, because we do not have a Hell's Corner currently on the IndyCar circuit.
We do not. Or I'm pretty jealous of Hell's Corner.
Frog Hollow. Like, what? I want this for us.
I know. We need to get more creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm. New project for the 2021 season. We're just going to start renaming parts of the track, you guys.
Yes.
Feel free to join us. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's rename parts of the road course at IMS.
Yep. This is happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any names yet. We're going to make the names.
We're going to make the names. Let's make this a thing. Yeah, we can do this.
I feel like Doug would be okay with that.
I think so.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I think so.
I mean, we'll make them appropriate. It's cool.
Yeah, no, but we need some fun names.
Yeah. So the boys will be doing 161 laps for a total of, well, you guessed it, everyone, 1,000 kilometers, because we're in Australia. Yes. So it's the one time I will allow kilometers to be used.
It's true.
Well, that and Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will allow it both places.
Yes.
Oh, so that'll be exciting to see how they do. Their practice was cut short because, well, Rossi dropped a tire and stuffed it.
That's okay. They've been having fun, though.
They were having fun.
I saw earlier that they were feeding some kangaroos, and I was like, I don't think your dogs would appreciate kangaroos. Let me go ahead and say no to you guys.
Right. And then there was another picture with a koala. Yeah, they are. They're living it up in Australia, and I'm pretty jealous.
I know. Go back to Australia, IndyCar. Come on, Mark Miles.
I know. Surfers, para, dice.
Let's make it happen. Although, I did read it's not going to happen for a while.
I know. I just really want to combine two of my loves, IndyCar and scuba.
I just want to go to Australia and see IndyCar, so I don't understand why we can't make this happen.
Yeah. We need to.
Yeah.
I want to go to there.
I do. And watch the things and see all of the wildlife and just spend some time in Australia because that's where the flat white was invented. Anyway.
Yes.
Back to news. Old news-ish.
Yep. So NBC, which had all of the races this year, total viewership is up 9% from 2018. And the Indianapolis 500 viewership was up 11% from 2018.
Which I think is great. I think that speaks well to the idea of having everything on one network. And it just shows, man, IndyCar's coming back.
It sure is. It is very exciting right now. We're making a lot of advancements. They're fast. They're competitive. There's a lot going on. So, and I think that having one network that can cross promote certainly doesn't hurt.
I think so. I'm going to be really interested to see what, if any, sort of change or how the Olympics affects these numbers. But that's just me being kind of a nerd.
I will be interested as well. Because they're going to throw some IndyCar commercials on there.
I really want to see some of our Olympians and some of our IndyCar guys like mixing it up. Come on.
Oh, I mean, they'd be dumb not to do that. Like
I mean, they would be. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'll be interested to see?
What?
How many numbers we don't lose from the people who aren't really going to stop watching because of the aero screen.
Yeah.
People who say that they're going to stop, they're not actually going to stop.
Yeah. I mean, I'll reserve my rant for here in a few moments, but I would love, yeah. It looks like you all didn't stop watching, did you?
I wish you would, is all I have to say to that. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish you would.
Go make good on your threats.
I wish you would.
Ugh. All right. Before we get into that, hold on. We have two silly seasons. It's first episode of the off season. We already have silly season stuff.
We do.
So, first sad silly season news-ish. Sad-ish.
Yes.
I mean, not hopeful. Not currently hopeful. Connor no longer is in the running for the Aero McLaren Racing Schmidt-Peterson, which everybody's kind of basically like, yeah, because Graham Rahal fucked everybody at Portland.
Yep.
And also, apparently, he's out of the running for Rahal Letterman Lanigan, which I didn't know they were looking for somebody. I thought they said no to a third car.
Yeah, I think they were still flirting with it. First off, Portland shouldn't count against them for Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan because, well, that was their driver's fault.
I know. I feel like at that point, you owe him a ride.
Right? But also, I don't feel like Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan is the right vibe for Connor Daly.
Nope.
No.
No. I mean, I'll say this. The Ray Hall and the Lanigan, no. I do feel like Connor Daly and Letterman would probably get along.
Oh, yeah, they get along very well.
Like, those two, cool. The others, not so much.
But I don't feel like David Letterman is involved with any day-to-day activities with the team.
I feel like he writing a check and showing up at races looking like Santa Claus. That's fine. Live your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I think he's from Indiana. He loves racing, and he's just, yeah, writing a check and has carte blanche to do whatever he wants when he's on the property. Like, I think that's pretty much it.
Again, I'm just jealous. Like, do you, buddy.
Oh. Very jealous. I want his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to look like Santa Claus, but I will if I have to.
Yeah. I mean, what does it take for me to get that? It's fine.
Right. So, but yeah, that is disappointing for Connor. But there's other seats out there.
Yeah. Speaking of a seat that's opened up and a seat that I don't think any of us saw coming.
No, this was quite the surprise.
And look at us recording after this news broke.
I know it.
This is the first time in I don't know how many episodes we've had as a whole. I don't care. I just don't know. We have actually recorded post big news breaking. Marcus Ericsson, priorly of Arrow Schmidt Peterson Racing, is now driving the number 8 car for Chip Ganassi Racing. So they are now a 3-car team.
They are expanding out because they had dropped from a 4-car team down to 2 a couple of years ago, and now their Chip's expanding out again. So makes me feel a little better that I chose him in my fantasy because obviously he did have some potential if Chip picked him up, but sure, certainly didn't help me win anything.
No, and so it will be Scott, Felix, and Marcus. So Scott's going to have to learn some Swedish because both of his teammates will talk about him behind his back.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be like having teammates that are twins and have created their own language.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Because Swedish barely sounds like a real language anyway.
I mean,
let's be real. I know that it is. I'm not trying to be offensive. But it's such a lilting language that it sounds like it could definitely be made up.
Like, the Swedish Chef is a parody, but not that far off.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of wonder, so there was that discussion of Chip Ganassi doing a technical partnership. I wonder if they scrapped it and was like, fuck it, we'll just run 3 cars.
I mean, maybe. Maybe they're still going to do the tech partnership.
We're still waiting to see if that's going to happen, which I don't know, man.
And I'd love to see Connor Daly with MSR. I think that'd be a great fit for him.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're going to do 2 full-time cars.
I know. I think they should. I think the time to strike is now.
The time is now.
Strike while the iron is hot. You just can get so much more info from having 2 cars.
Exactly.
Especially with somebody as versatile as Connor Daly, who has as much experience. I mean, he and Jack, neither one of them have huge egos. They will be happy to share information. I just think that would be just a natural fit. And a business meeting with Mike Shank involves a Dirty 30 of Busch Light. Like, if that doesn't say Hoosier, I don't know what does.
I mean, let's just call up your kinfolk and tell them this idea.
Okay, when we get into the suite,
here's the plan.
I'd be happy to let them know.
Step one. Oh, that means we got to go to Petit Le Mans.
All right, pack your bags.
All right, let's go. Let me get the jump bag because we're only going.
It's still on the floor. It's empty, but it's still on the floor.
It's fine. We packed and unpacked. So we just cleaned out the van. We're ready to go. Dang, we just put the seats in.
I was like, we are not ready to go.
No.
Not even close.
No. So we'll see. I mean, those are the first two. Well, I guess the bigger moves happened. Some bigger moves happened during the season. But as far as the silly season.
Well, and
Ericsson was a big move. Yeah.
Eric Sandow, that was unexpected.
That surprised the hell out of me. I'm going to be real honest about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that one was quite shocking. Yeah, definitely caught me by surprise. Didn't see that coming.
Nope.
I did hear a dirty rumor that Simon Pagenaud has not signed his contract yet.
I know you keep saying that, but I think they're just a negotiation.
It's not just me saying it.
I know it's not just you saying that, but I don't think he'd go to McLaren, Aerosmith, whatever.
Oh, I don't think he would either. I think he's negotiating, but
yeah. I mean, good for him, though. Get that money.
I ain't mad at him, but wouldn't that be a wild switch, though?
If that happened, I don't know what I'd do with myself. Like, I would have to take a day off work and just think about my life.
I mean, I'm going to have to move a lot of Penske stuff out of my checkout cart for the IMS store.
I mean, here's the deal. I need everybody to get everything settled before the clearance sale at the IMS.
Yes,
because
God, yes.
I don't want to have to buy some team shit and then go, son of a bitch.
Thank you.
Look, it's deep discount, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, like Colton Herta fans, get ready, because there's about to be a bunch of shit on clearance.
Oh, my God. All of the Colton Herta. Actually, probably a lot of... Oh, my God. All of the Aero stuff's going to be on clearance, because they're going to be rebranding. Oh, shit. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I do need people to make big moves before the sale, because I like a clearance.
Yeah, a bitch loves a good deal.
You know it.
Love a good deal. But yeah, well, I'm excited to see how Erickson does on Chip Ganassi next year.
It'll be interesting. It's always weird to compare and contrast, especially that rookie year versus that sophomore year, but we'll see.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's time, unless you have anything else, to talk about the cockpit protection.
Yes. AKA our shit we didn't make up for this week.
Yeah, because you're learning, and it's the first off-season episode. I'm a little lazy.
Yeah. It counts.
Yeah, it does. Fight me.
All right. Yep. FYFM. Well, currently we have the AFP, the Advanced Frontal Protection, what we have come to know and love as the nubbin. I was going to say, it is titanium. It's a titanium chunk.
I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, it's like a weird pyramid type thing. But it's about 3 inches high, 3/4 of an inch wide, and it is to protect against debris by deflecting it.
Yep.
It debuted at this past year's IndyCar Grand Prix.
And now we have the Red Bull Aero Screen Advanced Technology, the RBAT. I don't know. That's the hashtag, everybody. RBAT.
I think it was Red Bull Aero Screen Testing is what the T was.
Ah, okay. So, or the Aero Screen.
Yes.
So it's not been new, because they tested one last year.
Correct.
For a while. But then we had talked about this. So like the live tests weren't bad, but ultimately when it went into like some more simulation testing, they had really weird problems with the glare and what has been called a fisheye effect. And that seems dangerous on a car.
Yeah, that's definitely dangerous on a car traveling that fast. It also, safety-wise, the initial iteration didn't really hold up.
That's true, yeah.
So that's why this iteration looks taller.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is currently a polycarbonate laminate that's attached with a titanium framework.
Already it sounds safe.
Yeah, I mean, titanium.
All of those words. Yeah, all of those words sound safe to me.
Sounds very safe. There's an anti-reflective coating on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It has anti-fogging with a heating element. And it will have a cooling option for the car from Dallara.
I just appreciate the heating element part of the fogging. Because, you know, it's started to hit that time where you kind of have to deal with, like, a little bit of warming up the windshield in the morning.
Yep.
And so you hit the little button, and, like, now it makes me giggle, because I just want to see, like, the drivers all getting in the cars and, like, flipping the, like, air conditioning dial over to heating and, like, hitting the button for the front windshield. But also, also, like, that's amazing that they've already, like, I'm sure that people who work on this technology is like, no, that's what we always think of. But, like, damn it. They've already, like, thought of the fogging issue and fixed it.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of work to be done on the cooling, because which I didn't realize this, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Their helmets were designed to disperse air over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that their heads aren't out in the open air like they were, they've got vents that they've been adjusting. So that still needs
work.
Tweaked a little bit, yeah. But yeah.
Which is also, again, like not... I mean, I think part of me thought, well, you're reducing, like, the flow of, like, just the air on them, and so that's a natural cooling thing, but everything that has to go in is just crazy, man.
It is, and different tear-offs on the windshield. When we were there, we saw so many different options for visors.
Oh, my God. I have a picture I'm going to have to put up, but, like, so many.
Yeah, just to kind of see how they all looked with the windshield.
Mm.
So very interesting. It does have a load bearing ability of 150 kilonewtons or 34,000 pounds.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a shit ton.
That actually is the equivalent of a shit ton.
Yep.
So we've moved out of the like spec stage and the simulation stage, and now it is on the cars and being tested. And so, as was prior mentioned in the discussion of the Rat King,
yes.
October 2nd, which was a week ago when this drops, they tested at the IMS with Scott Dixon and Will Power. And
they did.
Yeah. So they had the news conference at like 4-ish, 3-ish, 4-ish?
3, yeah.
Yeah.
3.
They had already logged over like about 600 miles in their testing.
Like, which is just wild.
That's wild. And like, that just already shows how much they're taking this seriously. Like 600 miles of testing before the day was over. And they went back out and ran a lot of laps afterward.
They sure did.
It was great to be there and see it all happening and like watch everybody. Like every time somebody pulled, especially the first couple of times that like Scott and Will pulled off, everybody just like stopped what they were doing and just watched it go past. And you're like, oh shit, there it goes.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of excitement in the air.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a fun morning to be a part of. A full fun day, but yeah, especially in the morning, it was very cool.
Like there was this weird energy right before they started that everybody's like, so who's going to be the first one?
Right? Like, okay, how's it going to go?
What's happening?
So, yeah, it was very cool. We learned during the news, during the press conference, mm-hmm. that AMR has already been practicing extractions and how to remove the piece from the car. Which, I know there's been a lot of people that are very concerned about that.
Which, obviously, that I appreciate that concern, but I do appreciate that they're like, oh, no, like, AMR already has this. They are practicing on it. And if you see it and look at it, like, it makes sense that unless it's an extraction where the car is just, like, mangled and you have to take it off, like, it's a bit higher, so you can kind of get some heft out of it, like some, I can't think of the
leverage.
Word right. Thank you. Yes, yeah, some leverage. Like,
you can create a fulcrum.
There it is. That's the word. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah. So they've actually found that in some cases it was easier for them to extract drivers because they could use that screen as leverage because, again, it can withstand 34,000 pounds.
Yeah.
So they were able to brace against it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Billows to get some more details on that. So
at some point
we will, at some point. But yes, so we will keep you all fully abreast of that. So nobody lose your minds,
please.
Please.
I think what also was interesting was just the both drivers and like it's Scott and Will. And if there were two drivers in the paddock who are just going to tell you straight up, it's going to be Scott and Will. And they both were like, yeah, man, like no real, like no issues that couldn't be resolved. Like, was there a difference with downforce and drag? Yes. But once you got the right setup, it didn't matter anymore.
Yeah. And even Will Power said that it was really easy to get used to. He mm-hmm. said, even after just driving it for one day, that now driving without it, he would feel naked.
Right. Which I think is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, we noticed that, I mean, you got used to looking at it very quickly.
Right.
And I also think that, you know, we had the next iteration of the chassis in 2022,
yeah,
it's going to look a lot more streamlined because it's going to be integrated.
And
so,
yeah. And so we saw it on this in person on the Super Speedway trim, but like the road course trim that just happened today.
Ooh, that looks sharp.
That looked even better. So yeah, honestly, like, and we had said this every time somebody was asking about how it looks, after about 20 minutes, you don't really notice it unless you want to like actively stare at it and remind yourself to look for it. Otherwise, yeah, no, like it's there.
Yeah. No, you don't really notice it at all.
No. No.
They just say it was a lot quieter.
Yeah, Scott was like, yeah, I can actually hear my radio now. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. Now we're going to hear more drivers talking.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Like that was my big deal. Yeah. And then like no real issue as far as bugs and other debris. What's funny is that it comes with like its own little tear offs on either side.
Hilarious.
Which is just funny. Like I suppose tear offs can go on anything, but like here's the windscreen tear off.
Right. Although did you read that tweet from Marshall Pruitt that he was talking to Will Power afterwards? And apparently at the end of the day, a bird hit his windscreen and went through the vents.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. There was a picture on the internet that I think was afterwards because it was Scott and Will like looking at this spot on the windshield and having hit a few birds with my windshield. It looked like there was some debris.
Some feathers?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't. Oh, I'm so sad I didn't see that.
Yeah, so apparently a bird hit the windshield at the end of testing.
Hey, it's there you go. It's your first real world test.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Somebody out there is going to really hate that.
Oh, yeah. The bird did not survive.
No.
But that could have been pretty wild had that hit Will Power in the head.
Yeah, but it didn't because the aero screen did its job. Everybody can suck it.
I just love the, you know, I'm not going to watch because it looks too hideous, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you are.
Like, here's the deal. Do I understand people who are like, it looks ugly? If you want to say it looks ugly, that's fine. I don't care.
That's your prerogative.
That's like, okay, sure, you think it's ugly. But if you're like, this is stupid and we shouldn't have anything protecting our drivers, no, you need to leave.
You know what I think looks ugly?
Death?
My minivan. Do I think that that's the hottest car I've ever seen? No, but it serves a purpose, okay?
Well, I don't even think, like, objectively speaking, sure.
As far as minivans go, it's not that bad. It's fine.
I wasn't talking about your minivan anymore.
Oh, okay.
I was going back to the car.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, like, front on, it's a little wonky. I will admit, front on, it's wonky with the Super Speedway trim. Now, the road course trim,
yes,
that bad boy looks good because, like, the vents and everything kind of leads up to it. So from the side,
with the Super Speedway kit, it kind of accentuates the size of the windscreen.
Yeah,
with the road course, it blends a lot better.
Yeah, so I like it. And from the side, it kind of reminds you. I like people who say it reminds you of a fighter pilot cockpit because that's exactly it.
Yes, that is it.
So I understand some people don't like it because it's ugly. Cool, but don't live your life, but those of you who think it's ugly and won't watch it because it's ugly, no matter the fact that it's going to be protecting our drivers, then I'm going to go ahead and say it. You aren't really fans of the sport. Because as dangerous as this sport has been, one of the like underlying themes in sports car racing and IndyCar racing is like this development of technology, whether it's speed or power or safety. Like the first rear view mirror was an IndyCar. You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do, is that we look at things that have never been done before and we do them. Sometimes before there's a need for them.
Yeah.
Because you know what I hate having happen is when there's a terrible tragedy,
mm-hmm,
and then everybody says, and then there's something that gets changed and we all say, why didn't we do this beforehand? Why did it take a tragedy for this to happen? And now we have something that is ahead of the times and everybody's bitching. Well, what is this really going to prevent? We haven't had any accidents that would prevent. Just because we haven't doesn't mean that we won't.
Exactly.
Like, it still can have a purpose and be a valuable safety advancement, even though we haven't had an accident in the last year that it would have made a difference in. Like, it still has a purpose.
Right. Knee-jerk reaction should not be how a series operates, because every other time that something happens, yeah, just like you said, and all of a sudden it's, well, why didn't we? Well, now we have it. So, and if you're not going to watch it because you don't like it and you don't care about the safety of the drivers, then feel free not to watch.
Right. Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah. Bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Because sure, the sport is about the cars, but at the end of the day, like, it's those really awesome drivers who get in the car and, like, drive at speeds that you and I and anybody else could only dream of handling.
Yeah.
And
that's what,
keeping them safe, but we're still maintaining like open wheel, open. It's still an open cockpit, by the way.
Yeah. Well, and it's still open wheel, which is how our series is defined. We didn't do shit with the wheels. Everybody calm down.
Right. This is an open wheel racing. Did we put cockpits around the wheels and I was asleep? Like, did I miss that part?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure none of this has to do with the wheels.
No.
Oh, although I'll tell you what, speaking of the wheels, I do want to give a shout out because Kara Adams got a promotion.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was so excited to hear this about her.
Yes. She is now a director of, I don't recall exactly, but something.
Like manufacturing.
Something sciencey and complicated.
Yes. Something to do with make. So like there's designing the tires and making the tires. And I think she's over both now. I don't know.
I think you're correct. Yeah. So anyhow, congratulations to Kara.
Awesome, awesome job, Kara.
She will still be at the racetrack, though. Don't worry.
Yeah. She just, like, I don't believe that you will ever get Kara away from a racetrack.
No.
No.
No, definitely not. Well, October 7th at Barber, they had a test with Simon Pagenaud and Ryan Hunter-Reay.
And it was in the rain.
It was.
And
Which is perfect because they wanted to test in the rain, but obviously you can't
like make it rain. So you can make it rain, not like the way that they needed it to test. No.
Yes. Yeah. Just throwing a bunch of dollar bills isn't gonna help the testing.
I mean, it will help the rest of us there because I'm gonna take pictures of that and then I'm gonna take them. I'm gonna get me some money. But
photo. Just dollar bills raining down on an IndyCar.
I need this to happen in the off season now.
Yeah.
But no, and like there's a couple of videos that Barber put out and some photos that people have put out of the cars in the rain. With that cockpit, it kind of looks even cooler.
It does. It looked really good. And there were no issues with the rain whatsoever. They said the entire fog worked great and that the rain actually deflected off of the windshield. Like beat it up and ran off the aero screen better than it did off their visors.
Well, that's what we forgot to talk about is that at the IMS press, they were talking about rain and they're like, yeah, we can use Rain-X. And then you and I just started giggling about teeny tiny windshield wipers.
Yes.
Because we're 5 years old and we should never be invited to press conferences because we just both started doing little windshield wiper moves.
Yeah, we did.
But hey, Mr. Sometimes Cranky About Things, RHR, was actually a big fan. I mean, obviously, he would like some cooling, which I get it.
Yep.
Especially if you're in the rain, and so the anti-fogging thing, which has a heating element, sure, I could see, like, this is great, but it also needs to be cool.
Well, and in Alabama, where it's still humid.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they've hit semi-fall like we've hit semi-fall.
No. No, I get that. I'm sure they had some swamp ass after that test.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than the cooling, which, I mean, has been consistent.
Which they're working on.
Yeah. No complaints, though, which is good.
I know. So kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
And so, sorry. I was going to say at the 14th, it's Scott again and Joseph Newgarden. At Richmond. So that'll be interesting to see.
That will be. And then a couple weeks later, November 5th at Sebring with James Hinchcliffe and Sebastian Bourdais.
Well, we will continue to watch because it's exciting and we're here for it.
It is exciting. And Bourdais is another one that definitely does not hold his opinion back. So
yeah, I appreciate that. Like, and I also feel that like Hinch will not either. you know.
No, I don't think so.
So that's what's happening. That's our both just an update on some very cool things and our shit we didn't make up. So 2 for 1 right there. That's a deal as well.
2 for 1.
You're welcome.
All right. Next up, our woman of the week.
Which somebody actually wrote to us about. And surprise, if you write to us about things, we do get around to doing it. So
we do.
I just want to say that.
So thank you very much for the suggestion. And this week we are discussing Elaine Larson.
Yeah. So I think to start off with Elaine Larson, she's a jet dragster driver, and she's co-owner of, you guessed it, Larson Motorsports.
There you go.
And so a jet drag racer, because we've talked about NHRA a few times, but jet dragster is kind of like special stuff. So the cars are about 25 to 30 feet long. They produce about 5,000 pounds of thrust. And on a quarter mile track, they're going to hit about 280 miles per hour.
That is fast.
Yeah, that is fast. Yeah.
Wow. Following marriage, she started drag racing in a 1975 Chevrolet Vega.
I mean, first of all, a Chevy Vega.
That's fantastic.
That her, I will say her husband like bought, like, hey, we should start racing in this car. And then she was like, by we, you mean me.
I love that.
Yeah.
So the two of them built the first jet dragster. Mm-hmm. She has a personal top speed of 336 miles per hour.
Part of me is like, did you write that wrong? But nope, I did not. I promise. Yeah.
She is a two-time Hot Rod Association Championship, 2014 and 2015.
Mm-hmm. And she's the longest licensed female jet dragster driver.
Ever.
Which is super, super cool. So two kind of, everything I read kind of laid out two big moments in her career. The first being a big crash she had in 2011, which resulted in two titanium plates and 15 screws in her head. And whoa.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. And the second, we actually talked about, I don't remember if you recall this or people who listen probably remember the jet dragster driver who passed away in 2018, Kat Moeller. She was actually one of the Larson Motorsports drivers because they actually try and have like a lot of female drivers in their on their team.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unfortunate that Kat Moeller died, but one of the tenets that Larson tries to kind of do is have that female involvement, which with NHRA or any of that kind of dragster era, it's very much like the gender equality is like not even an issue. I mean, it's not 50-50, but they have a lot of women in there.
They do. It's a lot more progressive than other motorsports.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Her motto is live fast and play hard. Oh my God. Like that.
I love it. Speaking of that gender equality, she once said, drag racing is the equalizer. On any given day, I have the same chance as anyone to win. It just has to be my day, which absolutely, like, that speaks to racing in broad terms, like male, female, Caucasian, African-American, you know, Spanish, whatever. Like, racing is one of those things where it's like, man, you're just going to get in that car and maybe it's your day and maybe it's not. And I love that.
I love it. It is a great equalizer.
It is.
Hmm. Fun fact, she grew up Mennonite.
We've had a lot of Mennonite discussions on the road.
We have. We have. You can find her on Twitter at Elaine Larson.
Yes. So she's our woman of the week, Elaine Larson.
She is. Which while you're looking at her Twitter, you can check out ours. on Twitter, we are at Fast Cars and 317. We're also on Instagram at Fast Cars Fast Girls and on Facebook, Fast Cars Fast Girls. You can simply search that in the search bar of your Facebook page. You can also find access to all that from our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com. From there, you can subscribe, listen to our podcast. We also have a YouTube that you can listen that way. Or you can listen to us on any of your favorite podcast apps. So make sure that you subscribe, download, rate, review, and share us with your friends and family.
Much like you would herpes.
Yes, we are the gift that keeps on giving. We are the glitter of IndyCar.
I really feel like that needs to go on a shirt. We. Are the glitter of IndyCar.
Are the glitter of IndyCar.
God. Oh, boy. Straight to hell. It's okay.
Just when you think you vacuumed up the rest of us, there's surprise. A secret bug in the carpet.
You turn around and there we are. You can't get rid of us. You can try.
Nope.
The only way you get rid of us is burning the whole thing to the ground. And even then, what's that on the ashes? Us.
Glitter. Much like a brown recluse.
I mean, why'd you have to bring spiders into it?
Just saying they're resilient.
They really are.
They are.
All right, let's white flag this for the people in, at home.
Okay. So, well, my white flag is I'm sad we don't have the air race this year.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing that in mid-October, but it's okay because we got Liquor and Lights, a.k.a. Lights at the Brickyard, coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
So about a month and a half, 2 months. So that's exciting. And then right around the corner from that is the Rolex. So it feels like it's a long time till IndyCar, but it's only about 3 months, 3.5 months till we see cars on the track down in Florida. So
I like that.
Yeah. What about you?
I was similar vein. Like, I'm just sad that we're not going to have like races to talk about for a while, but you know, we've got some fun stuff planned as far as like interviews that we're hopefully going to get lined up. I'll do a better job of stuff in the off season. And then, yeah, before we know it, it'll be Liquor and Lights and then the Rolex and soon St. Pete when we're on a boat.
Spring break.
When we on a boat, hopefully.
Boats and hoes, IndyCar spring break.
Boats and hoes, IndyCar spring break 2020, yo!
2020. It's going to be good.
It is going to be good. All right, well, I think this is it, everyone. You will catch us next week.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.